Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
All right, welcome into the Five Guys here on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on Five Reasons Sports. We got Alex Dono. You can follow him at Alex Dono. Make sure that you check out the great sponsors of this program. That starts with our friends over at Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. Get $20 to play. Edmonton and Florida, you can see game one. The Panthers are 1.5 goal favorite. But you don't necessarily have to play that. That's the cool thing about Better Edge. You can go to the markets and you can find some of the open orders. There'll be more of these that come in over the course of the week. And you can find your own price. Just match it up with something else on there. Again, you get $20 to play using the code 5RSN at Better Edge. Also, we've got an NBA Finals contest on there right now. And we're giving away $100 in Better Edge promo funds. So $100 straight to you in addition to the $20 for signing up. So $120. Go to betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. RSN, or you can just find it on the Five Reasons Twitter page. Again, the contest will be promoted all the way up through Thursday. All right, let's get to it today, and we like to tie these topics together, Alex. And last year, here's what's interesting about this. Last year, the Panthers and the Heat were like in synchronization. It was, yeah. You know, they were 8 seeds. Neither of them made the playoffs until the last week. I mean, if you include the Heat's play-in, they both had to beat Boston in the playoffs. They both trailed at times in their series. They both, kind of ran through a murderer's row on the other side to get to the finals. They both made the finals. They both fell feebly in the finals. Like we even had like the Kachuk Butler comparisons going on, Jimmy wearing Kachuk's jersey, and all of that. Now, this year, it has not been quite as synced up. The Panthers had a great regular season after having a bad one last year, and the Heat had a so-so regular season again. And this time, the Panthers able to capitalize on their position, and now, they're in the finals, went through three terrific goaltenders. The Heat went out feebly without Jimmy Butler in 5 games in the first round. So it has diverged a little bit, and it's given us an opportunity to look at these two builds now, and you can make a case, and we're going to go over the last 4 or 5 years for both franchises. Bill Zito in charge for the last 4. Jimmy Butler came to Miami 5 years ago, so a little bit different, 1 year apart. But now we can actually look at these two things and say, is it possible that the Panthers' build could end up being more fruitful than the Heat's build?
Well, there's two primary differences in my mind. There are some similarities, but the big differences, which to me are why the Panthers are where they are right now and why the Heat are not where they were last year, I look at age and availability as being huge factors. And it's not to say that every important Heat player is on the older side, because obviously Bam Adebayo is younger, but the Heat are so reliant, especially come postseason time, on Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy is, he's on still an excellent player when available, but he's on the downward side of his age. He's into the mid 30s now, whereas, the Florida Panthers superstars are players in their 20s, like Alexander Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk. And I could go on and on and on and on. It's an in their prime roster, but a roster that's on the younger side. This isn't like, a bunch of aging hockey players, like when the Panthers had Jaromir Jagr and got to the playoffs. It's nothing like that. You've got a team of athletes that are either in or entering their prime right now on the Panthers. And I think part of that comes into play is the availability, right? When you're not constantly, and it wasn't just Jimmy with the Heat, you were constantly talking about who's injured right now, who's not playing, who is playing, is Jimmy maintaining himself right now? The Panthers have been so much more consistent. And I say that even though one of the primary reasons why the Panthers didn't win the Stanley Cup last year, you know, not taking anything away from Vegas, maybe they still would have won that series, but the Panthers weren't healthy in the Stanley Cup finals last year. And they are healthy right now heading into the finals this year, which I think could make a difference. But, you know, I'm looking at that video from the Rangers series of Alexander Barkov literally giving himself smelling salts, right? You hear stories about hockey players like dislocate shoulders and they pop it back in place during a media timeout. They get right back on the ice, guys getting stitched up and only missing one shift on the ice. It's like, so just the mentality of this group, Ethan, the mentality of this Florida Panthers team is so strong. The availability has been there. And I think a lot of that has to do with you're relying on a lot of younger players. I think those are the big differences. But with that said, there are definitely similarities. And obviously those similarities only go so far when you're talking about two very different sports, basketball versus hockey. But, you know, when I think about a Bill Zito build, and, you know, he's now kind of entering that conversation where he might now be the second best executive in recent South Florida sports history behind Pat Riley. You know, Riley's builds, and I give credit to Eric Spoelstra as well as the coach of these teams for so many years, a very specific style of play and a very specific culture, that heat culture we always talk about. We're starting to see Bill Zito also creating a very distinctive style of play and a very distinctive mentality style for the Panthers as well, with how aggressive they are, how physical they are in the forecheck, how they wear teams down. It kind of reminds me a little bit of that Miami Heat defensive identity. So I think there are definitely some similarities there in what Zito's trying to do with the Panthers versus what Pat Riley has done over the years with the Heat. But I think the big differences to me are you've got a Panthers team where most of their stars are just in or entering their prime, whereas that's not been the case with the Heat.
Yeah, no doubt. And not only that, he's got three of the most important guys locked up now for the next several years. I mean, Forsling, Barkov, and Tkachuk. I mean, that's huge. Now, we'll see what happens. We got, Ekblad and Reinhardt. I mean, there are pieces, but they replaced pieces this last offseason. I don't think there's any question at this point that he's the second best executive in recent Miami sports history. I mean, I think the only a real person that you can comp him to, look, it's Pat. Okay. It's Pat slash Andy Spo, whatever it is. I mean, that's one. I mean, Pat, you know, seven finals appearances. I don't care what people think about recent decisions. He made basketball matter in this town that you care about his recent decisions. To me, that says everything. But Bill Zito has done, like, the only others who are in the conversation would be Dave Dombrowski, but he never had a chance to follow on it. And then you look, or earlier, I mean, if you're going to say college football, you can talk about Schnellenberger and JJ. I'm not going to go there. I, you know, if you look at the Dolphins, really the only general manager they had who was effective was Joe Thomas, who was Don Shula's right hand man, when really Don was making most of the decisions at that time. So yeah, it's hard for me to put him there. What Zito has done is nothing short of rescue hockey in this town. And their timing is really perfect. I mean, I live in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and I can tell you that the Iceplex, which we are very grateful for, so I don't have to drive to Coral Springs all the time now with my daughter who skates, is lit. I mean, it's packed all the time. It is packed. The Panther store there is packed. We did the skate and watch over there. My daughter was trying to do her program in the middle of a bunch of, 12-year-old, you know, boys, you know, skating at full speed, not the easiest thing to do, but the game was on, and there were 2,000-3,000 people there, not just on the ice, but wow, at the snack bar, at the new restaurant they have, watching the game. This has all worked out perfectly for them. And that is Bill Zito's doing. I mean, ultimately ownership has to give you the tools, but it's a salary cap sport. I look at their runs now. Okay. And I know Heat fans are disappointed in the state of the run of the specific Jimmy build, and I'm not putting enough around Jimmy and Jimmy's availability and all the things that you've talked about, but you can't argue that this has been a successful Heat run. I mean, you're talking about 5 years, right? You're talking about one number one seed, which they did not cash in with the finals appearance, but they were within a shot of it. So the conference finals, two other finals appearances. Okay. If you look around the NBA, there's really only like four or five teams who've been as successful during the past 5 years. One of them is Boston, that's in the finals now. The Lakers cashed in with one championship, but didn't really follow on it. You know, Golden State won kind of a fluky championship. If you look at it, wasn't their best team. You know, so you look at what's happened in the NBA, like the Heat have been there. Okay. They've been there. This season was disappointing. But now you start to look at what the Panthers have done. And in four seasons, because I'm not going to include the pre-Zito, but let's look at some of the stuff he's done. First thing, he's transitioned from a coach who was very successful. Okay. In Joel Quenneville. I mean, you look at, he was 44-14 prior to his firing, which had nothing to do with something he did in Florida. It had something to do with what he did in Chicago, right? So there was a scandal related to that. He went to Burnett, who had success, and then made a very tough decision to go with Paul Maurice. And I'll say this, Panther fans were not happy with it, okay? Burnett went 51-18-6 the previous year when they won the President's Trophy. Of course, then they flamed out against Tampa in the second round and looked disinterested and small and not physical enough. And then Maurice went just 42-32-8 last season. Panther fans, even the most educated of them, were calling for his head because the transition to a more physical playoff team didn't work. And yet Zito stuck by it. And obviously has had the success with it. But even beyond that, if you look at the overall macro results, Alex, in his four seasons, you had a 37-14-5. Yes, they lost in the first round, but at least got to the playoffs, which for this franchise had been a challenge. That was a shortened season. The next year, again, 58-18-6, President's Trophy. The next season, 42-32-8. Okay, not a great season, but then get all the way to the finals. And then this season, they did both. They were right up there with the best teams in the NHL. They had the President's Trophy at one point in the season, and now they're in the finals. I mean, that's right there. Like, to me, if they win, it's ahead of this Heat build. I think anybody would say that, right? But even now, I think it's even with it. Would you say that?
Yes, I would. And how can you not, right, when you talk about a second finals appearance, you know, the Heat build made two finals appearances. You know, we'll say, I don't want to jinx anything. The Panthers are actually slight favorites to win this final series coming up against Edmonton. I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, not only the home ice advantage, I don't think is as big of a deal, but just the style of play. You know, Edmonton obviously has two generational players in McDavid and Draisaitl, but you know, the Panthers style of play, maybe being able to negate those guys a little bit, being the tougher, grindier team on the ice a little bit. So yeah, I would definitely agree with that, Ethan. And you know, I think something else I want to bring up, and I want to give credit to both of these organizations for this, let's also not forget how pivotal the ownership is on both sides, right? And of course, we've known this about Mickey for decades, right? How critical Mickey Arison has been for the stability and success of the Miami Heat organization. It took the Panthers longer to find that, right? It took the Panthers longer to find a stable ownership group. And what Vinny Viola has been able to do, really pushing so many of the right buttons. You know, I know maybe he stuck with Dale Talon a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure when things went south there, it wasn't easy to transition the way he did. But in hiring Bill Zito, and obviously having to approve the hire of Paul Maurice, all that they've done with the community outreach, all the things you talked about with the Iceplex and everything going on, it's been tremendous, right? The way that this ownership group, and it starts at the top for me, Ethan, right? I mean, the same way the Dolphins haven't had true stability since Joe Robbie owned the team, right? I mean, you talk about the Marlins. One of the reasons why that organization has, they've won two World Series, but they've been a dumpster fire most years. Instability at the ownership level.
I honestly forgot they were still playing. Like somebody messaged me today about our Marlins coverage, and I honestly forgot. And people used to say that about the Panthers. That's the remarkable thing of this. And it does start with the ownership. I mean, I don't know that we missed the Michael York years, but it does. Look, they had a number of saviors that they brought in over the years. Mike Keenan, Rick Dudley. I mean, people who had success in other places. Quenneville was obviously another one. I mean, he'd won a cup. But nothing like this, nothing like this. And he did find his Riley, essentially. And looking forward, and this comes in from Adam Folds, Panthers build is more sustainable than the Heat. And I think that's what you were getting into at the very beginning of the show. All right, here's where we want to go with the show next. After we introduce a sponsor, by the way, I hope you got some of those Panther jerseys, because if they win the cup, he's giving you your money back. Sorry about that, Jose. But that's what he agreed to before this started. So buy more so he has money to return to the others when he does it. But what we're going to talk about when we come back is what can the other three organizations now learn from the Panthers? Okay. Because you mentioned, we mentioned all three of them over the course of this. So I want to give that some thought during it. Because I actually think the Panthers have had the most difficult. You could argue the Marlins because of all the bad blood that they have to cover up. But the Panthers have had a very difficult road to this. Again, people were talking about moving the team. And now nobody's talking about that at all. All right, let's introduce our sponsor. Move into some of these jerseys.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called jerseys305.com. That's jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, they're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with 5 Reasons Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the way it handled. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's go through it. We're going to start with the toughest one first, because they don't typically need to learn anything from anyone else, because they've had the most success in this town, going all the way back to really Riley coming in 1995. Of course, the Panthers came in 1993. I was actually the backup writer for the Palm Beach Post on both the Panthers and the Heat during their 96 playoffs. And the Panthers, of course, went a little bit further, but the Heat, that was a time of success. And again, our best wishes to Alonzo Mourning as well. When we speak about that era, made a health disclosure, and we'll be discussing some of that on 5 on the Floor as we go forward. But I do think that there is something that fans of both teams, and there isn't a ton of crossover between the two fan bases. Again, you got more, it's one more Miami, one that's more West Broward, and sort of into Palm Beach. But when I look at it, I think what fans would say is Bill Zito did bold things over the past couple of years, right? Like, you trade a guy who was on course to maybe being the leading scorer in franchise history, and you just realize, look, we're not tough enough. And you go get a guy who's more of a power forward type player with an edge. And it is one of the riskiest trades that any of the franchises have made down here. And it worked. It's the perfect example of you've got to give up something to get something. And beyond that, if you look also at the trade deadline, and I know the Heat did try with Terry Rozier this February, which I was late January, I guess, which I was in favor of. It didn't work because he got hurt like everybody else on the team. But the Panthers have addressed needs at the last two deadlines. And in fact, I mean, they've added like big time players. I mean, Tarasenko this year, the forward they added last year, I'm sorry, from Philadelphia, that is, it's escaping me right now. But they made Giroux, Claude Giroux.
It was a couple years ago, I think, wasn't it? But yeah.
Was it 2 years ago? Year? They made a couple of moves last year also. They have done very aggressive things. They've also, they've done the Heat thing where they've taken, Forsling is like a Struce or a Caleb Martin, like somebody that other teams overlook that they've really developed. But they've been bold. They've been bold. Like, they've taken chances, significant chances. The Heat have not in recent years, really. I mean, they've kind of, they've tried to stay, again, they're spending in the tax, but they've tried to stay under the second apron. Understandable, but that's what they've done. And then, again, it's been more, okay, we have a value on a player that we're going to acquire. We're not going to go well beyond that value. Okay, we're not going to make our best offer first. I don't know necessarily that that's how the Panthers are operating right now. And to be honest, as we transition the Dolphins in this conversation, they've been bold lately too. The Tyreek Hill acquisition is a good example of it. So maybe there is something that the current Heat can take from the Panthers. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I'm very much in tune with you, because the first thought that came into my head was that if there's anything, maybe, and again, I'm not taking anything away from the Heat, but just for the sake of this exercise, if there's anything the Heat could learn from the way the Panthers operate, is A, don't be afraid to be bold, and B, sometimes it's better to be good than sentimental, right? That you don't always have to, because it would have been very easy for the Panthers to say, you know what, Jonathan Huberto, one of our all-time leading scorers, he had been here for what, 7-8 years by the time the Panthers had parted ways with him, would have been very easy to say, hey, listen, we need to make sure we appease Huberto and do what's right by him. No, the Panthers saw an opportunity to get better, and they made a move. It seems like sometimes the Heat are a little bit hesitant to do things like that, for better or for worse. I understand there's a method to the madness. I understand that sometimes people will say, well, they should have traded Tyler Hero a long time ago. There are other considerations in terms of what you're getting in return and what you need to complete these deals that fans don't always factor in. But the Florida Panthers have not been afraid to make bold deals. So I think that's probably what the Heat could learn from them. As far as what the Dolphins could learn, Ethan, I can start on this one. The Dolphins are definitely trying something to this regard in stability and continuity with management, right? Because on the one hand, I've been pretty critical with some of the things that Chris Greer has done, but at the same time, it's like they want to try and stick with Greer and give him every opportunity to set the organization in the right direction, which I believe the Panthers are certainly done with Bill Zito, who's got things trending in the right direction. That they're trying to keep things stable at the quarterback position with Tua. They're trying not to make too many knee-jerk reactions, but I don't even know where to start in terms of what the Dolphins could learn from the Panthers and the Heat right now. There's a lot, Ethan. There's a lot they can learn from the two most stable organizations in town right now.
Well, I think the one thing that people around the Dolphins will say is that at least Steve Ross has given them resources. That's not really the issue. Like, in terms of spending, he'll outspend pretty much anyone in this market. It's just smart spending, right? Like, this is... this has been the problem with them. Now, I actually think that they've been much better over the past 3 years. And I think that, you can argue with, okay, you give Christian Wilkins the extension early, you wouldn't have had to pay that much. But look, they just gave Waddle the money, right? And I think that was wise at this time. We see the wide receiver market is blowing up day by day. I think that, again, Ross has tried to stay with, he's funded it, and he's tried to create stability with Chris Greer. The question always becomes then, okay, when you have stability, have you entrusted that stability with the right person or people?
Yeah.
And it's clear that Mickey Arison did with Pat Riley, who then has done it in turn with Eric Spoelstra and Andy Ellisberg. If you look at where those two guys came from, I've made the argument that Riley's best contribution to this organization has been those two people, because those two people would not have gotten promoted in another organization or empowered. And now you have arguably the best coach in the game. I don't think it's arguable. And you have arguably the best cap slash GM GM in the game. Again, I don't think it's arguable. This is someone who came out of the video room and the other who was a media PR assistant. So, you know, that I give Pat credit for. Now, Chris Greer has worked his way up the organization, has been there with everybody. Yeah. But the results are the results. Like, you are what your record says you are. Again, another of these saviors that was supposed to come down and save the Dolphins, right? Bill Parcells said that, and his record was not good enough here. But you know, they haven't won a playoff game since December 20th, 2000, and he's now been there for like basically half of that. So that's the issue with them. Okay, I think they have been bold. He has been bold, going out and get Tyreek, and then also you look at some of the decisions that have been made to take some flyers on a guy like a Beckham, on a guy, the trade for Ramsey. I mean, there has been a boldness to them. It's ended up the same as always, which is that they fall apart in December every year, no matter what they do.
Well, I will tell you something that I do, at least I appreciate the approach from the Dolphins. And this is a parallel to what the Panthers have done, where the Panthers, they're building their roster in a way that really meshes with the coaching style of Paul Maurice, right? And the Dolphins are trying to do that for Mike McDaniel, right? Because I think it would be very easy for a lot of organizations, including, you know, the way the Dolphins used to be run, you know, years ago, would be very easy to say, hey, like we have this, you know, he's got certain tendencies as a coach. This is an offensive-minded guy, innovative. He loves speed, but he's also a first-time head coach. Don't know how much we can trust him, so we're not going to get too carried away with building the roster in his image. The Dolphins are trying to do that. They've tried to build this roster in the image Mike McDaniel has, right? Sticking with Tua, who McDaniel clearly feels is the perfect type of quarterback to run his system, and surrounding Tua with the speed. You mentioned Tyreek Hill and, of course, Jalen Waddle, who gets his extension, you know, the fast running backs that the Dolphins have. So they are trying to build their team in the image of their head coach. You don't always see that in pro sports. Sometimes there's resistance between the GM and the head coach. Obviously, that's what the Panthers are doing, because they've built the type of roster Paul Maurice is comfortable with. That is what the Dolphins are trying to do as well.
And I see the comments here from Inde. Dolphins fall apart in December because their trenches aren't good enough or healthy enough in December. That 2 second post window is difficult to pull off when playing against good teams. And I think that's fair. And then that's one of the reasons we've been doing a lot of content. I recommend people do check out on the YouTube channel. We've got a new contributor, Eric Smith, who has been focusing specifically on the trenches in his content. So make sure you check that out on the YouTube channel. All right, let's get to the hardest one of all. What the heck can the Marlins learn from the Panthers? Is it too late? Are they unsalvageable at this point?
I think as long as Bruce Sherman owns the team, I don't think there's anything they can do. Again, they had the opportunity. I can't guarantee you it would have been a World Series caliber organization, but based on what the Moss brothers are doing with that soccer team in Fort Lauderdale versus what Bruce Sherman is doing with the baseball team in Little Havana, Major League Baseball had the opportunity to sell that team to Jorge Mas, but they decided, you know, they brought in Bruce Sherman because he dangled the shiny object of Derek Jeter that was part of his group, which didn't last for, what, more than a couple of years. And then, you know, you let go of Kim Ng for reasons I still don't fully understand. And so I honestly don't know with the way that the Marlins currently operate. Because again, I don't want to contradict myself, because Ethan, I talked earlier about the importance of having strong, stable ownership, right? Those are the reasons why I believe the Miami Heat and the Florida Panthers are successful right now. I don't see the Marlins having that unless there's an ownership change.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the other problem is that there's so much more toxicity around the Marlins situation. That is the one place that the Panthers, although there was not a lot of success, okay, they didn't abuse their fan base the way that the Marlins have abused their fan base through various ownership groups. Like, it was just like, okay, we tried this. This wasn't good enough. They didn't have the right people in charge. In some cases, I think with the Panthers, part of the problem was that you had a lot of executives and even players who just came here to play golf and retire, essentially. Like, this is not a traditional hockey market, as we know. It's not the same as when you're in Toronto or you're even in Detroit or Boston, where you're actually being scrutinized on a daily basis. It doesn't happen here. It's one of the reasons we did upgrade our Panthers coverage. We appreciate Alex Baumgartner being there in the comments, and make sure to follow his work on the website. Is that you don't have that, okay? There's a lot of these guys could still walk into the mall across the street from the arena and not be readily recognized. And so there was a little bit, basically what you had to do was make people care. The Marlins had to do more than that. Like, they have to, first, they have to make them trust. Like, that's the thing. And I just don't know how they can make anybody trust them. We saw last year that they had a team that was building, and then, you know, Kim Ng is not there anymore. And now you got Peter Bendix with a totally different philosophy, and you're tearing it down to shreds again. And I mean, really, the season was over in the first 2 weeks. And so that's kind of where you're at. The problem with the Marlins is, even if they build something, nobody's going to believe it's going to be sustained. With the Panthers, like, there is a legitimate belief now, particularly with the move of more of their operations to Fort Lauderdale. Like, they're in this for the long haul. They have become essentially Broward's team. And that is significant. So I give them tremendous credit. Again, we didn't talk fully Panthers in this episode, but it all comes back to them. I mean, they have earned the stage, and some of their guys are becoming household names now. I mean, you walk around this town, and I see, even in the heat, I see Tkachuk jerseys, I see Barkov jerseys, I see Bob jerseys. I even saw a Forsling jersey the other day. Like, this is it's becoming a different kind of experience. It's a different fan base. And again, Zito is responsible for most of that. The Heat will be fine. The Heat will be fine. They're always fine. The Dolphins, I love McDaniel, but we'll see. I don't know. And the Marlins, again, like I told you before the show, I kind of forgot they were still playing. All right, Alex, we appreciate it. Right? Thanks to our sponsors, jerseys305.com. Use the code 5 there. You'll get a discount. He's still honoring that. And also, Better Edge, use the code 5RSN and sign up for our NBA Finals tournament. Giving away $100 in Better Edge funds. Pretty cool. Have a good one, everybody.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.